Can you hear me? Did I get it turned on? Alrighty. I'm really glad to be home, to be here with you. Cindy and I had a really good trip to the Midwest, there to visit parents and take them to doctors and kind of do the things that happen when you get to be our age, you know. I think it's the first time I've actually got to be in Sunday service and at the temple lot in maybe 3 or 4 years. It's been a while. And it was just wonderful to be back there and to be with the people. It's like all visits, you know, it's over way too quick. And suddenly you're on the trip home, which I think Cindy and I were visiting, it might have been 2 to 3 weeks, that trip home, but it's not really, but man, it seemed like a long way. So we tried to avoid the snow on the way back and didn't end up getting that done because it ended up going clear down into Mexico. So we had to drive through it some, but we sure added a lot of miles trying to get around it. I want to talk about something today that I think is extremely important. And I've had a few experiences as of late that I think testify of this importance. I want to talk about our personal faith. And I'm talking about something narrow in meaning. I'm talking about your faith in God, your faith in His Word. And so I'm going to start reading on page 422 in the Book of Mormon. And I hope, I know on your phone app sometimes a page number doesn't help much, but I'm in Alma, the 16th chapter, and I'm going to start reading with verse 143. And now, as I said concerning faith, faith is not to have a perfect knowledge of things. Therefore, if ye have faith, ye shall, for some things which are not seen, which are true. Let's see. I'm going to read that again. And now, I said concerning faith, faith is not to have a perfect knowledge of things. Therefore, if ye have faith, ye hope for things which are not seen, which are true. And now, behold, I say unto you, and I would that ye should remember that God is merciful unto all who believe on His name. Therefore, He desireth in the first place that ye should believe, yea, even on His word. And now He imparteth His word by angels unto men, yea, not only men, but women also. Now this is not all. Little children do have words given unto them many times, which doth confound the wise and the learned. And so I'm talking to everybody here. I have been astounded. and in the last couple days, attacked when I was helping to raise little kids. And that I remember my own kids, as they began to talk, some of the concepts they seem to actually understand and be able to express once they get there as far as speech, that I believe they literally picked up from us as parents, as grandparents, that they picked up in church when we thought, oh, you know, they're not paying attention. But I think that when we talk about little children, we're speaking about an innocence. I have something I can't prove, but I believe it's easier, that they're closer. They probably behold angels. I think of some of the scriptures that refer to John the Beloved, that when he was yet in his mama's tummy, he actually leapt within the womb when he came in the presence of Jesus in the womb of his mother. And I believe young mothers-to-be are literally, when they come to church, they're putting that little baby, even before it's born, in the presence of Jesus. And I also believe that's what's happening at home with them, when that's the way they're living. I've become aware recently of people that their faith is being tried greatly, and it's kind of failing. And I've prayed about it, and I believe what seems to be a gap for us sometimes. And I think the first time I ran into this, where I woke up to it, we were living in Cincinnati, and there was a church in LaGrange, Ohio, and I think probably the closest town that's on the map to that is a town named Jackson. It's kind of in south central Ohio. And this group was, they wanted me to come and answer questions and talk to them about our beliefs and so forth. And so when we went, and the people were wonderful, and they started asking questions, and went, man, did it wake me up. They started asking these questions, and there's these controversies that they were in the midst of, and they wanted to know what I thought of it and so forth. And I was like, I'll confess, I was like, what are you talking about? It was all deep insider questions, things that were going on amongst them, and it had to do with even things like leadership in the community clubs and all these sort of things, that trying to be leaders within the community. And I listened to their questions, and I asked for clarity as far as why they were asking that question and what I might be able to solve for them. I finally came back and I said, you know what? I'm from the Church of Christ, and I'm prepared to talk about him. And so we did talk about a few other things, but it was something that I could not lose from my mind. And I began to be aware that we do the same thing. We have topics that are controversial, that it's almost like every time we get together, we want to talk about those. And it's the popular way we will spend our time, is talking about controversial topics, or, you know, and we get out our scriptures and we may read a few scriptures, but we don't read the scriptures. We read little quotes to try to come up with answers on those topics. And so when I talk about what I'm going to talk about now, this seed, planting this seed, which is the Word of God, I'm talking about God's Word, not just quotes, the stories that are told about in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. I went to visit, I was with my brother Darren Kroll, and we had a friend that was in prison, and he had been at that time in prison over half his life. He was a young man. And we went to visit him, and I had been to visit him before. And this was a different visit. We walked in and we sat down, and we almost couldn't get a word in edgewise. And what had happened was, all these years he'd been in prison, one thing, you know, he knew he believed in the Bible. He knew he believed in the Book of Mormon. And one day, something happened. He looked at his Book of Mormon, and it was sitting there gathering dust on his little TV stand in his cell. He thought, you know, I don't have anything else going on right now. I don't know if I've ever actually read that. I just said something that's important. Sometimes we believe it, but we've never, ever actually gone to read and to look for ourselves. We've never actually planted that seed. He started reading, and he said it was within moments. He was just so overwhelmed with God's Spirit, like he never felt before. And as he read, he was so inspired by the men who were talking. And he began to pray because it made him feel really close to God. And so at the time we visited him, Darren and I, we came to listen. And he just poured out his heart about all the things that those men had said and what it meant to him and how much it had helped him and changed him inside. And so when I go to read this, that's what I'm talking about. And I believe that is the faith we got to be so careful not to neglect. It's not about, you know, in fact, it even says in Timothy, the second chapter in the 23rd verse, it talks about avoiding foolish and unlearned questions, which gender strife. And I think sometimes in our efforts to interpret that, we consider topics or questions that are hard to answer. Now, that's the meat of the gospel we're talking about. And I don't think that's true. I think sometimes we're literally getting into foolish and unlearned questions that gender strife. And so we spend our time there and we think we're talking about our faith, when actually we've departed from literally talking about God and the words that he actually got recorded for us. So I'll go on. I'll start reading again. But I wanted you to understand that what I'm reading about has some serious depth to it. It's about you personally. It's about a seed you plant in your heart. We're not dividing this out. It's not about if you're a minister and you're going to expound the word. It's about being a child created by God. A God who loves you and wants to bring you home. And he wants you to have joy in this life. Joy that's deep and spiritual. Joy that is resilient, that is equal, even superior to the storms that we face. So I just got done reading 146. I'm going to start now and read Actually, I'm going to jump over and read out of Luke real quick. Luke, the 11th chapter. And I'm going to read, I think, verse 9 through 13. Verse 9, chapter 11 of Luke. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, shall he offer him a scorpion? If so, then being evil, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And I chose to read this same story out of Luke because it says it this way. This is about him giving the Holy Spirit to you. And I know that it's a different discussion than when you receive that comforter, that abiding comforter, the Holy Spirit, when you're baptized. This is about the very beginnings, even, when you first start to experience God and His Holy Spirit. And so, when you open that door, the thing that really touches you, the thing that touched that prisoner that we went to visit, it's about the Holy Spirit. Now, in Matthew 7, this same story is told, and it says good things. It says that God would give you good things. And that's true too. But when Luke told it, he said the Holy Spirit. And I want you to understand that that truly is the power with which he will give you good things. So now I'll go on in Alma, the 16th chapter. And I'm going to start with verse 149 and read to 151. Now I said concerning faith that it was not a perfect knowledge, even so it is with your with my words. Ye cannot know their surety at first, until unto perfection. Any more than faith is a perfect knowledge. But behold, if ye will awake and arouse your faculties, even to an experiment upon my words, and exercise a particle of faith, yea, even if ye can no more than desire to believe, let this desire work in you, even until ye believe in a manner that ye can give place for a portion of my words. And I'm going to jump over to Philippians, the second chapter, just to read one verse. This is Philippians, the second chapter. And verse 13, it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when we speak of that Holy Spirit, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about giving place for God to work in you. There's things that, you know, it says that angels speak unto men and teach God's word. To men and to women, even to children. And I use the word speak maybe a little broadly even. Because I had an experience. And by the way, brothers and sisters, I believe we're supposed to meet together oft to, you know, partake of the sacrament. I believe we're supposed to meet together oft, it says, to speak one to another about the welfare of our souls. And Maybe I'm more used to when we were in Cincinnati, a sermon was something we talked together. It wasn't for me to stand up front and just say a lot of words. It's for us to talk together. And if you feel the Spirit moving you to interrupt me, maybe you have a testimony or something or a question, do so. We are here together to speak to one another about the welfare of our souls. And I believe that that is the meaning of this message I bring today. It's to highlight, to point out, to zero in on what's going on with you. What's your relationship? What's your experience at this point? I remember when we lived out in Cincinnati, we didn't have a lot of visitors. But one of the most frequent was Bill Malone. He would come out through, and a lot of times he was going to a race or some other thing that he was actually in that area for. But he always got a hold of us, and we always got together. And he was telling testimonies one day, and Jeremiah was maybe, how old was he? Maybe six or... He said, God doesn't talk to me. And he wanted to know more. And he seemed absolutely honest and maybe a little bit concerned. But he spoke right up. You know, God does, I haven't heard his voice. He doesn't talk to me. And I know... he took me for a walk one day to tell me an experience he had when he was praying about who he should marry. And God actually did speak to him and give him a dream and tell him what he was supposed to do. And I remember saying... He sees you. He knows who you are. And Jeremiah didn't talk anymore. He just wept. That is that seed. That is that fruit. That growing of that seed in your heart. And we need the strength of God working in our hearts, not as a congregation only, as each individual, man, woman, and child. We need him desperately. And I know that lots of times we don't want to hear about, oh, there's going to be trials ahead, but, you know, I've had trials throughout my life. It's always been true. We have things to face. And we need God. He's not a convenience. He's a necessity. And he knows us beyond anybody else. He created us. Back to Alma. Alma 16, I'm going to start with 152, and this one, I'm sorry, this one's going to be a little bit longer reading. Thank you, whoever put... Beginning with verse 152, I'm going to read to 173. Now we will compare the word unto a seed. If ye give place that a seed may be planted in your heart, behold, if it be a true seed or a good seed, if ye do not cast it out with your by your unbelief, that ye will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to swell within your breast. And when you feel these swelling motions, you will begin to say within yourself, it must needs be that this is a good seed, or that the word is good. For it beginneth to enlarge my soul. Yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding. Yea, and it beginneth to be delicious to me. Now behold, would not this increase your faith? I say unto you, yea. Nevertheless, it hath not grown up to a perfect knowledge. But behold, as the seed swelleth and sprouteth, and beginneth to grow, and then ye must needs say that the seed is good. For behold, it swelleth and sprouteth, and beginneth to grow. And now behold, will not this strengthen your faith? Yea, it will strengthen your faith. For ye will say, I know that this is a good seed, for behold, it sprouteth and beginneth to grow. And now behold, are ye sure that this is a good seed? I say unto you, yea, for every seed bringeth forth unto its own likeness. Therefore, if a seed groweth, it is good. But if it groweth not, behold, it is not good, therefore it is cast away. And now behold, because ye have tried the experiment, and planted the seed, and it swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, ye must needs know that the seed is good. And now behold, is your knowledge perfect? Yea, your knowledge is perfect in that thing, and your faith is dormant. And this because ye know, for ye know that the word hath swelled your souls, and ye also know that it hath sprouted up, and that your understanding doth begin to be enlightened, and your mind doth begin to expand. And then is not this real? I say unto you, yea, because it is light. And whatsoever is light is good, because it is discernible. Therefore ye must know that it is good. And now behold, after ye have tasted this light, is your knowledge perfect? Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither must ye lay aside your faith, for ye have only exercised your faith to plant the seed, that ye might try the experiment to know if the seed was good. And behold, as the tree beginneth to grow, ye will say, let us nourish it with great care, that it may get root, and it may grow up and bring forth fruit unto us. And now behold, if ye nourish it with much care, it will get root and grow up and bring forth fruit. But if ye neglect the tree and take no thought for its nourishment, behold, it will not get any root. And when the heat of the sun cometh and scourgeth it, because it hath no root, it withereth away, and ye pluck it up and cast it out. Now this is not because the seed was not good, neither is it because the fruit thereof would not be desirable, but it is because your ground is barren, and ye will not nourish the tree. Therefore ye must not have the fruit thereof. You cannot have the fruit thereof. And it, you know, you think about it, when you plant a garden, there's an intent. There's a result you want out of it. When you plant that seed, you're wanting it to begin to grow. You're not wanting to just see that it sprouted and it began to grow. You're actually wanting, in the end, to partake of the fruit of it. There's an end in mind. And I think about this nourishing it. And I want to plant the idea that you need more than to come and to listen to me. That your knowledge does not need to be dependent on just the things I say. You need to be at home in private listening. And I think it, you know, just like river down here, when you begin to experience these things for themselves, there is a life outside of you that is giving back joy into your soul. There's the Spirit of God working in you. It's not just about you reading a book. It's about giving the opportunity to experience God, to hear His Word, to find out what He's like and what He likes, so that we might do His good pleasure. And now, I'm going to read again, and I have no idea what verse I just read. Can somebody tell me? 168. I'll start with 169 then. Or was I supposed to start with 168? Okay. So 169. And thus it is, if ye will not nourish the word, looking forward with an eye of faith to the fruit thereof, ye can never pluck the fruit of the tree of life. But if ye will nourish the word, yea, nourish the tree as it beginneth to grow by your faith, with great diligence and with patience, looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root, and behold, it shall be a tree springing up unto everlasting life. And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the word in nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by you shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet, and which is white above all that is white, yea, and pure above all that is pure. And ye shall feast upon this fruit, even until ye are filled, that you hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. Then, my brethren, ye will reap the rewards of your faith and of your diligence and patience and long-suffering, waiting for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you. Talking about this fruit, Riley and Jennifer, I would like to mention something that Cindy said one of your girls said yesterday, a very good thing. Is that all right with you? And Cindy, correct me if I misquote. I believe it was Kaya that they were at, was it Wildlife World yesterday? And she stopped and let another child go first in whatever they were doing. And she said, I am a Mangarelli. And Mangarellis are nice to people they meet. That is fruit. That is bearing fruit. Fruit of the teachings of good parents. Fruit of God's seed already being planted in her heart. And she's at her young age. The Holy Spirit has helped to impress these things onto her so that she just stands for it. That's how she sees herself. And it's important to her, and it's part of who she is. And this is the same when you join Christ, when you take upon you His name, that you be able to say, I am of Christ. And people of Christ are nice to the people that they meet. It's fruit. It's fruit that you bear by your behavior. And the neat thing about it is, if Kaya had not said that, I would have already known it. I've seen it over the space of years. The fruit being born by kids being raised in Christ. It speaks loud. It speaks loud. it actually testifies of Christ. If you actually, in our Sunday school class this morning in Phone Church, they talked a little bit about this, that if you read in Moroni, the 7th chapter, it talks about how to judge good and bad. How to look at this fruit that we're talking about and see, was it a good tree? Was this good fruit? Was this a good seed that yielded good fruit? And when it talks about it, it says that you judge by that it testifies of Christ. And it inspires good in you. That's what it does. And if it doesn't do that, it's not good. It's not good fruit. But we need this personally. And the things I've run up against that concern me are where in our efforts to... I'm not sure how to explain it. How do these things happen in us? I'll just say we're men. We are women, and we're also human beings, and we're flawed. And we try to defend ourselves, and sometimes we use words. We may even try to compare our church to other churches, and so we tell facts about this other church that show that we're so much better. And our kids grow up and they remember those things and they're important to them. And then they get exposed to that other church and they find out, you know, that was a lie. That wasn't true, what I was told about that other church. What else did you lie to me about? I'm sorry, but it's like a betrayal when we say things that are inaccurate. And it may not be with knowledge. It may be that your parents told you this about that church and you believed it and you passed it on. We can't do those things. And the truth is that when I'm talking about this seed, I'm talking about the words in here. I'm not really talking about the freedom of a parent to say anything they want that they feel like is going to accomplish the right end. I'm talking about them bearing these words. There's an instance in the Bible where Christ spoke to the multitude and they couldn't all hear it. And the disciples dispersed among the crowd and they spoke the very same words that Christ spoke, nothing varying from those words. And I think it's important to understand that when we're doing this experiment, it's not about the traditions of men. I don't think traditions of men is a curse word. It's not. There are good traditions. But we're talking about God's very word. That's what we're talking about planting in your heart. And when you are challenged, when you come up against the real blocks in this life, when you are challenged with, you're presented with new beliefs or somebody else's ideas and you're going, well, wait a minute. And you're trying to weigh those against the things you've been taught. This is what you weigh it against. It's not simply what mom and dad said. It's not simply what I heard in church. But it's this. And it needs to be planted in your heart. I'm inspired to tell you this, but I'm Cindy and I were at a restaurant in Cincinnati. Oh, Charlie's, I think, was the name of it. We had done some shopping and stuff, and nearby was this Oh, Charlie's restaurant. And we were eating in the restaurant, and by, I dismissed myself from the table to go to the bathroom. And while I was in the bathroom, boy, this is a romantic story. While I was in the bathroom, I became aware of another presence in the bathroom. And this is difficult to describe. I don't know how to... When I turned around from the stalls, over the counter with all the sinks in it, you know, where I was about to go wash my hands, I just stopped. Because there was a person standing there. And how do I describe this? I was aware of every detail of that person. I could see everything in detail, but I could also see the counter and the sinks behind them. It's like I could see right through them. And he was standing there like this. And as I looked at him, it wasn't like the description of when Jesus was glorified, where he shone white with light. It was the image of Jesus when he was on this earth. And his clothes were worn. His hair, at the point I saw him, wasn't just washed. It was a little oily. If I would compare his image to somebody I see today, I might even say homeless. But didn't Jesus describe himself that way? He said, you know, I can't remember the words exactly. The foxes have their dens or whatever, but I don't have the place to lay my head or something like that. And so there was dust, and increasingly so, as you looked down his torso, and especially where his legs stuck out at the bottom. You know how, if you've ever worked in the heat and you're wearing shorts, the dust that you create just clings to your sweaty legs, you know? And that's what the dust looked like on his ankles, his feet. Those sandals that were worn and tattered. It was like Jesus on this earth. And he never spoke to me in words. But the message I got was that things were ahead. Look at me. I walked these roads. I know what you're going to face. I've experienced it myself, and I am with you. His promise in those things is for all of us. He didn't tell me, go tell the whole church what you saw. He didn't say that. What I'm saying is, when you choose him, that promise is true. He will be with you. He will help with his Holy Spirit to really implant his word within your heart. To be that strength to you when he sees the road ahead is going to be bad. When even in the moment that you're experiencing those trials, he will be with you. I'm going to quote something that my cousin says a lot. She's dying of cancer. But she posts on Facebook a lot. Tells what today was like and to keep praying for her. And she always ends by saying these same things. She says, God is good. My faith is strong. But the pain is real. And I think those are important words for us. When we experience the pain, that is not a betrayal. That is part of what we have to go through in this life. It's just that He's with us. He keeps our faith strong. And as cruel as it sounds, there's actually none of us that are going to get out of this life alive as we know it. We are going to suffer some things, and He will be with us to get us through it. And you need Him. You don't need just some memory of what Jerry said. You need Him. You need your Heavenly Father. You need to be able to embrace His hand, hold on to His word. And when you do, just like Kaya's testimony of what she said and the way she behaved, that's going to testify to the world through you. If you read in 2 John, it's the second chapter, verse 3 through 6. I'm not going to go and read all of it. It just says that, I'm going to go and I'm going to read it. It's real short. Verse 3 of the chapter 2 of 1 John. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. And that is our testimony of Him, that we walk even as He walked, that we are of Christ. We are of Christ, and people of Christ are nice to the people they meet. They testify of Jesus. And remember, when you think of these other, I hesitate a lot of times to speak of things that maybe irritate me a little or frighten me. There's words that do frighten me right now that I have been hearing a lot, and it's something about core beliefs. When we think about what our core beliefs are, we start expounding all these other things. And not all of them are things that directly testify of Jesus. They are these other arguments. And sometimes I fear, my great fear, is that it's part of our effort to answer these foolish and unlearned questions. And there are many in the world. We have to face that. But it does say to avoid it. Let's testify of Jesus with our mouth, with our behavior. And I think it's a good thing to be a Mangarelli too. So thanks for letting me use that. The people that we met with in LaGrange, Ohio, were really neat people, and I don't want to leave a bad impression of them. I just wanted to give an example that's a little easier to accept than when we talk about us. It's harder to accept. It's hard to be humble and realize we can still improve. We can still change. There's foolish and unlearned questions we can leave behind. We can go back to the real meat of the gospel, Jesus Christ. And there's a song that's kind of on my heart while I was studying for this sermon, and it just says, it's just one phrase out of that song. It says, when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. Let's bear Him. Make your life a testimony of Him. Plant this seed in your heart. Nourish it. Be fruitful ground for it. Nourish it. Till about it. Water it. Take care of it. And testify of Jesus. Thank you.